verses 28 through 29. Proverbs 31, 28 through 29. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all."
Our numbers are down, but not as much as it was last year this time as we go through the transition from a school year to the summertime. We have far many more students that are going to be staying over on the summer, and we're just delighted about that. And we want to continue in every aspect of our work to try to involve every member in the work, and we would certainly appreciate feedback. We would certainly encourage people to be take initiative in the various things we can do to encourage each other and to reach this community. I don't always present a lesson that would coincide with the things that go on within our society. I've chosen to do so today. The church does not observe Mother's Day. That is something that society does, and it's not a bad thing at all, not a sinful thing. But it's one of those things, as I look out at the timing of sermons, I occasionally will deliver a lesson at the same time that the world is thinking about these things. Because I will tell you, the power of a mother, the influence of a mother, is something this society has greatly minimized. And if this nation falls, which it may well in time, it's going to be because of the failure of our home. This morning I want to talk to you about the influence of mother. Now, there's a lot of emotion when you use the word mother. I'm not making this up, and I say this without shame. There are occasions, one aspect I wish they didn't have, but sometimes I don't sleep well. I struggle with sleep issues and may eventually have to go see a doctor about that. But when you struggle with sleep issues, sometimes not only do you snore, but you'll speak out. And it is not an uncommon thing, even to this day, for sometimes that I will call out in my dream, "Mother." And I'm not ashamed of that. Remember when I was a teenager, I went to some camping trip and I had a dream and I called out, "Mother." And I've been embarrassed by it. But as the older I get, and my mother's been dead now for some 20 years, I'm certainly not ashamed to remember that time and the connection that I had as a child to my own mother. Biblically, we see that the role of mothers is powerful. As I think back and I look back on my household, every spiritual value I had would pretty well be attributed to my mother. My mother took time. I look at the moral and societal type of things that I was taught. I was taught by my mother. I had a good father. He was not a spiritual man while he was raising us. He did provide, and he was a disciplinarian, and he loved my brother and I. But there is a power in what a mother does when the home functions as it ought to. In Titus 2 and verse 4, the older women are described in this context that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. One of the things that we see in this verse is that this has to be taught. Being a mother has to be taught. The value and the role of the mother in the home with the children has to be taught. One of the struggles I would say to you young ladies that are going to school and getting a degree, you need to understand that when you marry and when you have children, your primary role is going to be in the home. You may say, "Well, Larry, you're saying we can't pursue a career." I'm not saying that. But I am saying that your primary role is going to be in the home. And I'll never forget, years ago, Yvette was working with Bell South, and Stephen, she was expecting Stephen, and And when the time came for her to go in the hospital, she took a leave of absence. And she went back to her boss. And her boss was one of these almost, she seemed almost like a women's liver, you know. She seemed so aggressive and crude and in some ways. And also she was a tender woman in some ways too. But I'll never forget when she went back, she told her boss, you know, they had this career path for Yvette and what she could do. And she just told her boss, she says, well, I'm just going to stay at home with my child and I'm going to resign from Bell South. And this old tough boss of hers, tears got came into her eyes, and she looked at Yvette and she said, I wished I could do that. And for whatever reason, in her situation, she couldn't do that. And so I would leave that with you as you consider what God has designed you to do. That God has provided your primary obligation would be as a mother to be within the home. And what a powerful role it is. What a powerful role it is. I'm thankful that I had a mother that took time with me. I still vividly have vivid memories of during the time that I was growing up. Now, this is radical. You're talking about really the ancient days and hardships. We only had one car. And my dad took that to work. And we had to walk to a bus stop and go for that bus stop and go shopping. But I still remember vividly talking to my mother and waiting on the bus and talking to her. I still remember one occasion when a thunderstorm was coming and we were trying to walk our way home. And I remember the time I was praying at that time that the thunderstorm wouldn't hit us. And a lot of things that I can think back to, the times that I spent with my mother and the time that she had for me. But the most powerful thing that we get through a mother, a godly mother, one who trusts God, is the ability to instill faith. I'm going to do a series of lessons this summer on instilling faith in our children. I mentioned that last week in a lesson, and some suggested, somebody emailed me and said, why don't you do a series of lessons on that? And I'm going to do it. And one of the things that we need to understand is that success defined by some is not success defined by God. Now, let me just briefly mention something about a mother that is not doing what God wants. There are mothers that are not good people. There are mothers who have chosen a way of wickedness and they abandon their children or worse, teach their children in directions they ought not. I'm just noting two Old Testament verses. We're not going to read them except to note that in these verses, there were fathers and mothers that literally gave their children to be sacrificed to an idol called Molech. It's described as passing through the fire. And you look at that, and I used to think, well, how in the world can people do that? Well, I don't ask that anymore. If any of you have had any time to spend in our society, and there's certain, well, the neighborhood I grew up in has a 93% illegitimacy rate. The drug rate, the rate of disease because of the rampant immorality, the abandoned children that the mother just leaves. It's about like that. And I can understand how a society can spiral downward. We are going to have in the next generation the largest number, percentage of children that have been raised basically without parents than we've had in the history of this country. And you don't think that's not going to have an impact upon our society? And so we can't change society, but the one thing that we can put emphasis on is that when it comes to the home, outside of becoming a Christian, who I choose to marry and what I do in my home is of high value. We can influence a generation. The future of the church will be determined by this. Now let's talk about the power of mother. The most powerful thing a mother can do is instill a faith in their child. Timothy, who was a great evangelist, we read of two epistles that Paul wrote to him. We read about his working with Paul and how Paul commended him to the Corinthians. He says, I have no one like-minded, no one like Timothy who will care for your state. Where did Timothy get his faith? It wasn't from the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also. Historically, when I've gone to various churches, I have found that in the majority, and I haven't done a count here, but in the majority of members within churches have been women. As a rule, historically, I will see that there will be more women that would give emphasis to faith and give emphasis in trying to instill faith in their children than men. In my own household, I would just have to say that I would fit that pattern. My mother was interested. My mother went to church. My dad was a good provider, but he went on and gained his esteem through doing and accomplishing. And there wasn't direction toward me spiritually. Can a mother do it by herself? Yes, she can. She can. You may say, well, your mother must have been some teacher. Well, you know what? The thing that I remember of my mother is that she tried to read the Bible to my brother and I just about every day, and we frustrated her. I know that we wiggled and squirmed and did other things and probably discouraged her. But the thing that we knew is that my mother believed it. And you know what? We came to believe it. My older brother, who had some issues when he was growing up, he's a faithful Christian now. But there was one thing, because of the raising of my mother, he believed the Bible. And I knew he believed it. My brother believed it. My mother believed it. There was just enraged in the household that I was in. And it was not perfect by any means. I had a mother who believed in God. And I want to tell you, teaching and instilling faith in your children is not easy. It takes determination. And as I've already suggested, many mothers don't have the support they ought to have. There are men that aren't the heads of their household. And boy, we've already had reading you're hearing. What a blessing when she succeeds. In Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. There is something worth living for. Let me instill faith in my children. Let me give my children back to God. Let us, if there's so many things I can accomplish in this world, but if I can accomplish this, this is everything. That's why in selecting a mate, I want to select somebody that will help me go to heaven. I want to select a mate that will be the head of my house, that will be the one, speaking of a woman to a man, that will be the one that will have a spiritual leadership. It's quite interesting as you talk about what a mother can do. That was interesting. My mother, she was tender. And she wasn't the best spanker. Okay, I'll just tell you. When it came to spanking, I let my mother give me the spanking, okay? That was all right, you know. Sometimes you had to kind of, you know, act like you got hurt a little bit. And I'm kind of, I'm glad it wasn't Daddy. Well, what mother learned with that? There are times that, well, I did something really bad. She would tell me, well, you got to wait till your daddy comes home and he's going to deal with you. Oh, man, I hated that. So there were times, when we'd come to the parents, there's different roles they play. Mother was known for tenderness. So I will tell you, when I was hurt, I went to Mama, okay? I did that. And our children do that, too. You know, there's a few times I have to say when my children came to me with a splinter in their finger, I said, well, go get my pocket knife. Mama! They go run somewhere else. You know, sometimes I leave as a man designed that, where they would go to Mama anyway. But notice again the tenderness of a mother. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherisheth her own children. So affectionately longing for you. Another characteristic of a mother. We were all well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, but our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Here, Paul used the affection of a mother to a child as an illustration of what a Christian ought to be. Matter of fact, the Bible lets the image of God is pictured to us through how a mother responds to a child. Isaiah 66:13. As one to whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I don't know, this is getting random here a little bit in some illustrations, but I'll never forget one time. I don't know how this happened or why it happened. But I was getting ready to go play. I was in a football team. I think I had some of my uniform on. Mother had cooked me a meal. And I was getting ready to eat some black-eyed peas. I was getting ready to eat my meal when the chandelier, I'm not making this up, the chandelier in the kitchen just fell. And it happened to be right on my head. that thing hit and it shattered. And there I'm woozy. My initial thought that Mother had taken a plate to hit me on the head. And I turned around and I said, "Mother?" And she looked at me and I had this gash and my head was bleeding. And I was a pretty big boy by that time. I was 12 or 13. And she picked me up and carried me outside, started hollering for help. I'll never forget that, you know, being carried around. I didn't know what had happened, but I ended up being okay. And maybe a little mental damage that you saw, that you can see, but I still have a little scar here on my head. But it's interesting that when my mother thought that I was in danger, I didn't know she had that kind of physical strength. And man, she carried me up, carried me outside. And so again, there's a strength there too. There's strength. I'm going to take care of my child. I'm going to protect my child. And if you've had that kind of mother, you've been blessed. So many people today in our society, we live in the most lonely society that has ever existed in our country. There are studies done that people have fewer friends. They have fewer connections. People generally, they'll text today and they'll do Facebook and people don't see one another as much anymore. And what a powerful thing for a mother to have that relationship. Here in Proverbs 4:3, the Bible says, "When I was a father's son, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother." Here we see the mother's concern, the mother's personal interest. You know, we come out of our home having some view of ourselves. And whether that view is of a Christian, one who has an awareness of God, or whether that view is that I'm nothing, I'm ugly, I'm insignificant, that's going to have a lot to do with our relationship we sustain with our parents. I pray that each of you and each of us will have had those kind of parents and will be those kind of parents. Do you ever hear the voice of your mother? My mother's been dead 20 years. I hear her voice all the time. I still can hear the voice of my father. And parents, I want you to know this. Your voice will be in your children as long as they live. What's the voice say? I like how Proverbs 6 talks about this. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you." I can remember when I was a teenager in high school that my mother was very, very concerned with drugs. She was over-concerned. Now, there were some times she was worried that somebody was going to put something in my drink at a party and that I would get on drugs or something like that. But you know one thing that she told me? You don't want to mess with that stuff. And that was not a temptation to me. Because I had a mother that talked about those things. But many, many other things, I can still hear her voice in instructing me. You know, when I tried to learn to date, I didn't go to my dad to learn that. You know, he didn't know much about that. If he did, he didn't talk to me about it. You know, but there are many realms which I needed help with. And it was my mother that I went to in those things, dealing with relationships. That, as a rule, men, we'll tend to go accomplish, we'll work, we'll conquer, we'll capture, we'll hunt, we'll fish. And those are good men things to do. We'll do sports and we'll conquer things in sports. But mothers tend to focus on relationships. How to deal with people. And that's good. That's why it's best to have both a father and a mother active in your life. Proverbs 1:8 again. "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother." Proverbs 31:1. It's interesting. Here is a king. A powerful king, a wise king, a king writing that which is recorded as a proverb in the Scripture. Where did he get this wisdom? The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And so again, what a blessing we have when we've had mothers that have introduced us to the issues of life. Now, one other thing about a power of a mother. When we talk about a mother, one of the things that is just very obvious to me is that it will provide an atmosphere in the home. And again, I want to tell you, godly mothers, those you Christian mothers with children, one of the most important things you can do is to have a good relationship with your husband. If you don't have a good relationship in your marriage, that oftentimes will be seen. If there's conflict in your marriage, if there's tremendous criticism in your marriage, if there's buried anger in your marriage, you oftentimes will teach your children to do that and to be that way. You may say, well, I try to hide it. I know you try to hide it. It's better for you to have a right relationship, a loving relationship, a relationship in which you can communicate. One of the main reasons why we lose our children is in this area. Sometimes there's maybe undiagnosed depression or issues within the mother. And that's not recognized. And those things, there's nothing sinful having a struggle with your emotions. There's nothing sinful about that. But it needs to be recognized and dealt with. If not, you can have a situation where the children don't feel like they can talk to their mother. There's this buried anger. There's this resentment. And that becomes a great difficulty for the one raised in that home. You can on one hand be instilling faith. On the other hand, you're molding an angry, bitter, resentful person that doesn't deal with problems openly. Again, Ephesians 4:31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I got a call a few years ago from a mother wanting me to help their child to be faithful here. And I remember talking to the mother, and the more I talked to the mother, mother had gone through an unfortunate divorce. And, you know, people can be unfairly divorced and things can happen there. But how do you handle it? How do you go forward from that? And she was critical of her husband. She was critical of the church she was at. She was critical of the preacher who I knew personally to be a strong and good man. And so why would there be no surprise that her son coming out of that home was resentful of Christians, didn't trust preachers, didn't want to have anything to do with the religion in which he was raised? It makes you miserable. Let me have anything but that. And so again, she was concerned for her child, but at the same time she had planted seeds which likely destroyed the child. And so, let's go to the next section. I want to talk briefly about the trials of mother. As we talk about, oh, by the way, before I got to throw this out here. So this is an age illustration here. Many of you guys never saw this commercial because I think it had to occur in the late 70s or very early 80s at best. So some of us old guys may have seen it. But there was a fellow man that coached for Alabama years ago, Bear Bryant. I think everybody heard the name. But he had gotten up in years and they tried to have him do some Bell South commercials. And it's kind of funny watching him, getting him on script to do a commercial. I mean, I'm sure they had to do a lot of cuts before they got something they could use. And one of the commercials was saying, you know, he says, I tell my players to stay in contact with their parents. I tell my players to call their mother. And then this wasn't in the script. And he said, I sure wished I could call mine. And they kept that cut. That was probably one of the most famous commercials they did. Because he very honestly, even this man revered as being a very powerful disciplinarian, he had to be raised by his mother alone. He went through tremendous poverty. And that's an interesting story in itself. Let's talk about the trials of mother. You know, mothers are going to be very connected to their children. And that's wonderful. We read about how when Samuel was given to be trained by Eli, of how his mother would come every year to make a little robe for him. She gave her son to the service of the Lord, and that was a tremendous sacrifice. In Luke chapter 2, we read about how his mother had Jesus stayed at the temple, and they were going home, thought he was in the group, and they couldn't find Jesus, and they had to go back to Jerusalem. And it was his mother that started talking to Jesus, the young Jesus. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? And of course, Jesus pointed out that he needed to be about his father's business. But it's interesting in verse 51. He says, Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. I mean, Jesus' mother knew that this wasn't an ordinary child. She knew that. And she was thinking about this. That's what mothers do. Mothers know their children. They think about their children. They can read your minds oftentimes, can't they? And aren't you quite grateful for that? They know oftentimes what you're thinking, the direction you're going before you do it. They study you. But I want to tell you something. They suffer as well. They warn you, and when you go down a certain path, they can be hurt. You know, there's sometimes as you get a little older, you know, is what they talk about teenagers. Sometimes when you get to the teenage years, you think you know everything, and then you criticize your parents, and then you get a few more years on you, and you say, "Wow, my parents have learned a lot in the last few years." Well, they come to realize the parents knew what they were saying in the first place. But there's pain. When you hurt, they hurt. Luke 2, I looked at that verse, but there's a prophecy we're going to look at later of Jesus, basically the prophecy was to Mary that the sword would go through your heart. The pain that child suffers and mother suffers. And her work is tremendous and it never ends. And she would willingly sacrifice anything for the child. Let me tell you the greatest pain that a mother can experience. More so than anything else, the mother who's the child of God, the ultimate disaster, the ultimate pain, is when their child does not choose to continue to serve God. In Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the Bible says, "The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." You know, my brother and I both became Christians. And we served the Lord. And we took a stand different from what my mother raised us. But my mother was very, very thankful to see that both my brother and I were trying to raise our children and trying to instill faith in our children. If you're here and you're not serving the Lord and you were raised by a faithful mother, you need to understand that the hurt that provides. But more than anything else, you need to come to love God. I tell parents, sometimes there are parents I've known that have died with their children unfaithful, and I tell them, you have planted seed. You be patient with it. But again, as we talk about the trials of mother, there's no greater hurt than this. I want to briefly in the next two sections, just briefly talk about some things about Jesus and then what we are to do. You know, Jesus had a mother. And this mother loved Jesus very, very dearly. We don't talk a lot about Mary. And maybe we ought to. She's certainly not someone to be worshipped. She was a godly woman. And evidently a woman. We read about Joseph early in Jesus' life, but we don't read about him later. Evidently, something happened to Joseph. But there was a prophecy when Mary found herself with child, and Simeon came and pointed out the great things this child would do, but also noticed what was going to happen to Mary. She was in the prophecy. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It was a great blessing for Mary to give birth to the Son of God. But in that blessing came great pain. And brethren, I want to tell you something. There's nothing in this life worth something that doesn't cost you. Being a mother is going to cost. Being a mother, there's going to be hurt. Here's when that sword went through the heart of Mary. Mary sat and watched her son be crucified. I cannot emphasize enough the grotesqueness of the crucifixion act. And the mother not only watched her son, who she dearly wanted to go and comfort and help and heal, she watched those that should have been the highest, most spiritual people in the country revile him and make fun of him and laugh at him during his dying moments. Jesus thought about his mother on the cross. In John 19:26, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciples, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. One of the things that Jesus did on his death, he provided for his mother. Can I have your attention? This is a terrible, terrible failure of our generation. There are too many people, and sometimes those that have been raised as Christians, that in their parents' failing years, they abandon them. And I've seen that with my own eyes. I've seen parents go through their deathbeds and never the child have an opportunity for weeks, never darken the door of the hospital. I've seen those that have been put in situations and their children never see them anymore. Let that not be us. Jesus provided for his mother. And you know, aging parents, sometimes they lose their abilities and they lose other things and they may not be as easy to be with, but they have loved you and they have raised you. You don't forget them. It's interesting as John took care of the mother of Jesus, that Jesus showed us an example. And I want to go to another point in the life of Jesus. John was the one chosen. You see, John wasn't just any disciple. He was the one that described as the one that Jesus loved. In John 13:23 says, "Now they were leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved." Here, Jesus made sure that his mother would be taken care of by another person who loved God and loved him. He possessed the qualities that he wanted to look after Mary. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6:3 if we could. If you give you book, chapter, and verse, do I have to give you book, chapter, and verse? I mean, yeah, I can give you book, chapter, and verse. For how once we leave the home, we still maintain a relationship and a responsibility to our parents. Now, I recognize when we leave the home, we're to cut the ties in the sense that now we have our own home, we're autonomous, we're to leave father and mother, Genesis 2:24 talks about. But in Ephesians 6, it talks about how we should honor our father and mother. In verse 3, it says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Jesus, during his ministry, pointed out that there were those that perverted this responsibility, both Old and New Testament. Look at Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother." Let me give you the context here, financial support. Brethren, we're not going to always have Social Security, and Social Security may not cover much. This country may well go through a financial failure in our lifetime. I think it likely may happen. And I realize this generation will say, "Well, the government will take care of my parent. We've got these things that will take care of." That may not be. And here was the Pharisees saying, "Hey, you can give to the temple, and it's a gift to God, and you don't have to take care of your parents." Jesus says this is the commandments and doctrines of men. He says, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." He talks about these people whose heart were from him, and they taught the commandments and doctrines of men. But let me go back to this. It is not going to be easy, in all likelihood, as your parents get older, to take care of them. But do you love God? Do you remember what your parents did for you when you were unlovable and you were not easy to get along with? Listen to Proverbs 23:22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Support her. There's a good quote here. Lady says, "Not until I became a mother did I understand how much my mother had sacrificed for me. Not until I became a mother did I feel how hurt my mother was when I disobeyed. Not until I became a mother did I know how proud my mother was when I achieved. Not until I became a mother did I realize how much my mother loves me." I don't want to end on a negative, but I want to give you one more thing. You be different from the society. When he talks about there is a generation, I'm afraid that we are it. Our generation. Proverbs 30 verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation. How lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy among men. Now, one of the things I want to tell you can do, and you give your parents support, I'm going to tell you something. In all likelihood, your parents, if they're able to maintain their abilities, they can give you wisdom. They can give you advice. I loved up to the day of my dad's death to talk with him and to visit with him. And the same thing with my mother. I was very thankful for those opportunities. And we had actually, during their death, Yvette and I, we had moved to Nebraska. We were 1,000 miles away. And it hurt them to have their new grandchildren that hadn't been very, very long to be 1,000 miles away. But you know, my parents understood why we went there in order to try to establish the gospel. And they willingly took that sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice on their part. But I loved the occasions that we had to be with them. King David, during his time of trial in 1 Samuel 22, he was being chased by Saul. He took care of his parents. Look at this, 1 Samuel 22, 3 and 4. Then David went there from Mizpeh of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. He took care of his parents. One more time in Titus 2, we have to be taught this. And we were taught this by being grateful. We're taught this by understanding the nature of our God. We're taught this by understanding it's much better to give. And we're taught this by understanding that many times it's going to be our parents that can give us a wisdom that this generation despises. Last point. As precious as your parents are, if they teach you well, you'll not be afraid to stand on the truth of God, even if it comes to opposing what your parents want. And my brother and I had to do that. And it's interesting, as you talk about a biblical faith, ultimately the goal is to deliver your children to God. You want them to have God first. Proverbs 27:10, the proverb writer said, the psalmist, Psalms 27:10, it says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." In Matthew 10:37, it says, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Don't follow your parents blindly. Brethren, we're going through some changes in churches right now. We're seeing a change in the preaching. We're seeing the change in the very essence of the gospel itself. And I am very concerned with the directions that churches are heading. And sometimes there are those, they stay within a church, they don't perceive the changes, and they get carried away with it. And their children sometimes will see the changes, and they'll say, "Well, you know, here's the pull of the parents. You don't criticize us. This is what we've always done, and there's not an emphasis on Scripture." Whether it be coming out of a human body to stand with the Lord's people, or whether the Lord's people going in the direction they ought not. Let's let our faith be firmly found in God. You may be the one helping your parents during a day of struggle. And it may be that your parents turn against you. In Mark 10:29, it says, "So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now and this time, and houses, brothers and sisters and mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." While I love my physical parents, I have several spiritual parents. this last week, just 2 days ago, a few days ago, Frank Jamerson was buried in Dothan. Yvette and I, on our first date, we went to hear Frank Jamerson. I can remember Frank when he was in Dothan and I was in Abbeville, my first full-time work. But I'll never forget the occasions that I had to talk with Frank and be with Frank and be encouraged by him. I was talking to Joyce, Frank's wife, at the graveside. And I was telling her, you know, at one time Frank preached in Columbus, Georgia. And the church that he worked at has taken another path since the days that he was there. And I talked to that one day, this congregation may have a role in replanting the gospel in Columbus, Georgia. She was so excited about it. Frank, before he died, we talked about that. But I think of Frank, and I think of Joyce, and I think of others, Bill Hall, and the Halls, and people that were so helpful to me. I had family beyond my immediate family. And our God will bless us. I pray that your physical family can go to heaven. I pray that that will be possible. But the one thing that I don't want to happen in my home, there may come a day my children may have to take a stand against where I'm going. And if I'm going the wrong direction, I want my children to stand. The goal ultimately is giving each of ourselves back to God. The family relationship, the place of a mother, the place of parents, used correctly, is a powerful tool. Where's your mother now? What kind of home are you building? What are your children going to think of you? I just pray as we look to the example of Jesus, as we look to eternity, that we'll seek God's help in the great, great job of molding souls. I am thankful for the blessings God's given me. And I pray that I can be used as a tool, as well as I know you feel the same way, to be used in His service. This morning we want to extend an invitation to you to be born into the family of God, to be born of water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5. We extend an invitation. It becomes a common thing, but it's not a common thing. Because it's an invitation for us to respond to the gospel. The Bible calls that calling on the name of the Lord. Do you need to become a Christian this morning? Can we assist you, Christian, in turning your heart in the direction you need to? We'd love to help you in any way. The invitation is extended as we come, as we sing.